I was about to say, is the button fucking broken? That was the longest intro music I've ever heard, but I was hyped.
Hey, you're the one that made the intro video be like almost 30 seconds. So
22. All right. Got to do with those repetitive numbers. Anyways, guys, it's the Challenge Fandom Podcast. We're back. Got myself, Rick Hayes, got my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, and we've got a very special guest tonight from Goat Media, Zach Nichols Podcast, none other than co-host Pierre. Pierre, welcome back, man. We're so happy you joined us.
What's up, guys? Thank you, man. So happy to be back with you guys. You know, I love coming on here and talking with two historians, ghosts. You guys are everything, all the above. So
man, it's a pleasure. I know this like came out of nowhere tonight. It's just a random thing. It's not even our normal night to record.
I know.
But bro, you came in with that pinch hit. And it's just, it's killing it already. So
I'm excited about it. I like love talking to you guys. And hey, I was just leaving the club. I was like, hey, yeah, I'll definitely jump on right now. I'm feeling a little, you know, a little tough, so I'm ready to get it.
Let's go, bro. Yeah. Let's go. Dude, and perfect episode to hop on for because yeah. It's the one right before we get into the finale. And you know what? It's ended up. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to be straight up off top. I thought it was a boring ass episode to be the one right before the final. I was like, can we get a mini final? Can we get like a little purge instead of an elimination? Anything like that?
Something, even just a better daily. Like it just seemed like the whole episode, it felt like a first episode.
Yeah, I got that kind of feel from it too. Like the daily was, give us something physical. Give us anything.
Or just anything challenging. Like and I get it, like heights and blah, 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 I get it. But it just, I don't know, like it just didn't feel like the lead up to like the final, like the daily right before the final, who's guaranteed a ticket to TJ's final in this, we're climbing a rope ladder and walking across a beam.
I feel like the challengers had fun, but like, what are we getting? You know what I mean? What are we enjoying? You know, the scenery? I mean, I always struggle with challenges and eliminations that don't have a timer that we can see. But I just because it's so manipulable, right? Like I would love to have seen, you know, something a little more challenging. But it is what it is.
CDF. Yeah, man. I mean, here's the thing is, when there's no timer, it kills it. Like 14 seconds, you couldn't put a little mini timer. And because, and we're going to get into this more in depth, but like, especially because it was broken up into two sections, like where does the timer end? When does the timer start? Like none of that was made clear to us. And once again, production for the challenge, fucking it up and not giving us transparency when we need it.
I wanna be able to say like, hey, Chris, you killed it. You did a great job. I wanna say like, oh, you know, Michaela, you blew Tori out the water, like you deserve it. But it's just hard for us to gauge.
Yeah, exactly.
Like exactly, especially 14 seconds. I was like, that's about as much as we saw of each competitor was 14 seconds. So how are we supposed to make that judgment?
Yeah.
Anyways, before we get really into this, let's start off top. We're recapping episode 13. Title is, they really screwed the pooch on this one. It's the treason for the season. Like you could have just moved a few themes around here and made it really good. Is like the season for treason, you know, that would have been much better.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into the title this week. Whatever.
Okay.
Because that is just absolutely ridiculous.
So usually we don't talk about this, but the very first part of the intro is Cassie coming in after winning her third elimination in a row in her, you know, however you want to slice it, her real rookie season.
Yeah.
Is this one of the top like 5-10 rookie seasons by a woman in the challenge?
I mean, I definitely think it's in the top, you know, it's just, it's hard for me to say like she's having this like impeccable rookie season when like she's been doing great in eliminations, obviously, but she keeps getting sent into eliminations because she's not doing good in any other part of the game. So I think that her elimination record is incredibly impressive, but I don't know if I'm quite yet ready to say that she's having like a fully like impressive rookie season. I don't know.
Yeah, I I think it's a great season only because, like, she, so look, like, she made an enemy out of Wes, right? And that was her choosing. You know, I don't know if I would have made such a big deal out of it, but what it did is it gave her a lot of confidence in that sand. And I was very intrigued at the fact that she did not care, like, at all. Like, I'm going, I'm her. And, like, you got other girls that are, like, you know, scared of shit whenever their name gets called. So, like, that alone is something to be heralded. But what you're saying is fair, and I admit, like, I don't give enough credit for social equity, and she had none. So, like, maybe I boost her up more because I don't give enough credit to it.
See, I think the way I'm looking at it with Cassidy is I'm kind of comparing her game to Chris, right? Because they've had such similar games throughout the season as far as being the main target, you know, getting thrown into elimination over and over, continually winning in elimination. The only thing that I feel like Chris excelled more in than she did is Chris was able to make some really solid alliances, like with Corey. And then Chris has won a couple dailies, you know? So yeah. I feel like even if she had won like a daily or two, like it would have just, and I also want to add, like, I did not like Cassidy very much coming into this season. I wasn't like overly excited. I do like her a lot more now than I did at the beginning of the season. I think that she's a great challenger, and I hope that we continue to see her back. I just would have liked to see her win like a daily, or, you know, just at least have like one or two solid alliances in the house, or, you know, just something.
One thing that I will say, though, and I mentioned it, you know, on our podcast, is she did draft that.
She did.
That's true.
Yeah.
She didn't. One thing Michelle said on our show was, like, I asked her, I said, why is Cassidy such an outcast among everybody? I mean, there's a lot of Survivor people here. That's part of her crew. And she said something very peculiar, which I thought was just very insightful. She said, during the beginning part of the season, she didn't have to grind because Blue was winning. So everyone else that was scrapping and clawing for a win, they kind of bonded in that, you know, adversity, yeah, which she didn't have to do. And then once she made an enemy, then now everybody's against her. So,
yeah. All right. So here's my thing with Cassidy. My overall thought on it, her is, good season, really good season. I would probably put it top 10 or 15 for woman's rookie season. I mean, mm-hmm, it's impressive what she's done, the elimination, but the part that takes away from it is the fact that she's had to be in elimination. And it's been almost, I think, every time she's gotten her ball nominated, like, you're going in no matter what the hopper says.
Right.
With that being said, that makes a lot of sense about Michelle saying that, because she didn't have to do anything. She was on that dominant Blue team that she drafted and didn't have to make those outreaches to challenge vets. So, yeah, I don't think it's the greatest season I've ever seen, but it's good. And I would love to see her back. I think she's definitely earned her way.
Oh, yeah.
If she would have won this elimination, I wouldn't have been mad about her making the final. I think she earned her way to a final this season. Definitely.
Yeah. That's a question, like, we love to ask on our show, not only to guests, but I like to ask to Zach, because, like, you know, we asked it for Sebastian and we've asked it for Alyssa, both of them. Did they earn a call back, you know? And I think Cassidy, there really is no question. Like, if she's not on another show of the challenge, it's unfair to her.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have been upset to see her flip around and be right on 39, to be honest. Like, yeah. I would not have been upset about that at all, you know, but kind of like on the flip side of Cassidy's game and Cassidy constantly being targeted and being thrown into elimination, you know, right after they get back from Cassidy's elimination, we get that conversation where it's Josh, Fessy, and I think maybe Corey was sitting out there. Yeah, I'm not sure, but they're talking about, you know, Josh and Fessy are talking about Josh's game, and Fessy points out how, you know, Josh has managed to get through the entire season with only having three balls put on his name throughout the entire season. So my question, and I'm really curious to see what you have to say about this, Pierre, because I know, like, how Rick and I feel, but how do you view games where, like, people are able to avoid elimination? Like, is that good gameplay in your opinion, or, like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. like I mentioned earlier, normally I don't downplay it. It's a skill, right? And it's a skill to avoid elimination. It's a skill to have friends. It's a skill to essentially have people vote in an opposite direction. Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say with Josh particularly, okay, is part of him being able to stay in the game is one of two things. Number one, I personally don't think any of those guys were scared to see him in the final. So keeping him there is like a win-win. I get to make a friend happy while also having someone I think I'm going to take right to town. The second part is that Josh has a way of avoiding chaos by bringing it upon himself. And Zach says it all the time. He causes a scene and then it's always like everyone like forgets about it, you know? Like literally like they just forget about it. And then it's like, oh, like Josh is an afterthought. So I'll say this, and I'm going to say it on my show too, but Corey took Josh's game and stepped it up, because in the moment of truth, why did he go in? Is because he didn't have a 100% me and you deal with Tori. Mm-hmm. And she had every right, and she approached him about it. I have every right to vote Corey, and that's what I'm going to do. And he accepted it, and he didn't throw a fit about it. Why? Because of that friendship we're talking about. If it was anyone else, he throws a fit at Tori. Fuck you. We're not friends. Blah, yep. Blah, 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 blah.
100%. Dude, here's my thing is, this is Josh's strongest season by far.
Yeah.
By far. And I'm not just saying that because he made it to the last elimination before the final. It's because he played this game really well. It's just the end part was a bit sloppy. He didn't tie up those loose ends at the end like he really needed to. He needed to make sure that he had that 100% with Tori, as me and you were going to go win this. He needed to make sure that he had an out between those last four guys, the way he could get out of it without swearing on his fucking dead grandfather.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll get into that more, but.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and you and I talked about this a little bit the other day when we were outside is Josh plays this game, and we see it often with challengers where, you know, he wants to stick to like this core group of friends all the way to the end of the final and protect them from everybody. Not just, I won't vote for you, but I'm going to protect you from everybody. Then, which is great, because then you get to play the whole season with your friends and woohoo party and have fun.
Yeah.
But then you get to the end and you're stuck because you either have to betray a friend. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's one thing that I think that Josh made a mistake. And a lot of people make this mistake. And this is, in my opinion, where Johnny Bananas thrives in how he runs his alliances, because he might not vote for you, but he's not always going to make sure that nobody else takes you out, because then he doesn't have to worry about taking his friends out at the end of the season. And I think that's where a lot of these people mess up. They not only refuse to like vote for their friends, but they refuse to let anybody else take them out. Mm-hmm. And then they're mad and all upset when they get to the end of the season and it's all their friends and they have to pick between them.
That is profound.
I was going to say, well, look at Tori's game, like the last few seasons.
Yeah.
She gets to a point where she wants to protect her love interest and her friends. And like, it's a situation where Devin's facing a man well, and she's cheering on a man well to fucking beat her best friend that's gotten her through these games.
Yeah, what?
You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's sloppy gameplay at the end where people like CT, Bananas, Wes, and probably Zach too, the OGs that have learned this and have done it, they realize like, I want to get to the end, but at the end of the day, I want to win this shit. It's not about my friends winning it. It's about me winning it. Now, I'm happy if they do too, but that's not my goal.
Yeah. There's a distinction, a very clear distinction versus I'm going to do everything I can for you to win, and I'm not going to say
yes. Exactly.
Okay? And if the roles are reversed, okay, and Fessy is thinking the same way, okay? Fessy's thinking, hey, Josh, I'm going to ask you to do everything in your power to help me win. But if he's doing the same, if he's putting himself in Josh's shoes and saying, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you win, Josh, I'm not going to make you put yourself in jeopardy long term, right? You say who you got to say, which the clear choice is Corey, right? So So it was a little bit selfish for Bessie to say, hey, it's in my best interest for you to pick bananas. So if you don't do that, we're not friends.
That's no, it wasn't.
And that is my biggest knock on Bessie through this whole season is that line that he had this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, once again, another almost flawless season being played by Fessy. You know, there was really nothing he did that was like, oh, you know, where the fan base can get upset about it.
Yeah, I didn't even hate him this season. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'll say this about Fessy in comparison to Josh, because you asked about not going into elimination, right? And is that a skill? So there's a Josh way to not go into elimination, and then there's a Fessy way to not go into elimination. And the Fessy way is scare the shit out of everybody into not putting you into elimination.
And that's exactly it. I mean, I want to save that because we're going to talk about this elimination. I've got a lot of thoughts. I've talked to some people. Otherwise, we're going to jump ahead and get crazy on the shit. But I wanted to bring this up because I saw a lot of people on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter talking about this. Is Josh had this moment where he's saying, hey, I want to win this to be able to take care of my family, to take care of my parents. Yeah. And a lot of people are bitching like, oh, dude, what do you mean take care of your parents? You won 500K on Big Brother. And like, I just want to say this. And I know this might be insensitive for some people. And I get it. But this is the truth that I know. You're 23 years old. You win $500,000 on a game show. The tax rate on that, you're probably at the end of the day getting about $325,000 is the real reality of that.
Yeah.
Out of that $325,000, you live in Miami, Florida. So let's say you want to get yourself a decent condo in a nice area. That's probably about $300,000 right there.
I mean, if you're lucky, like you can't even really do that here in Reno.
Yeah.
Like,
so let's stop pretending that $300,000 is life changing money. It is to a degree, but it's more about life setting up money, which now winning this again, that would help take care of his parents. So like, let's not shade a guy because he's trying to win money for his family. He's not an NFL player making $1 million a season. You know what I mean?
Well, and look, in my opinion, like moments like this is it just further proof that like certain people get on the show get like biased treatment, right? Because like we get the same type of stuff from Corey and the I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for my kids. And I want to buy a house for my kids and like all this stuff. You know, and he makes buttloads of money off of Teen Mom and nobody says shit about Corey.
Yeah.
But when Josh says anything, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and that's like, the fandom drives me nuts sometimes with stuff like that. I'm like,
yeah, I didn't even know that was like a point of contention.
Yeah.
Like what, like anyone that has a problem with somebody's reasoning is a fucking hater, bro. Let's be real.
Exactly.
Like, he can be, and if all things, what you're gonna hate on him saying that I want to do for my family, you guys like you're just, to me anyone that says it, you're jealous that you don't have a family that you want to do that for. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we poke fun, like you know, like what season was it that Corey kept saying like he was doing it for his kids, like every episode, and it wasn't even like we were like making fun of him like wanting to do it for his family. We were just making fun of like how often he just kept repeating it, like every confessional he had. Yeah. But like, yeah, if you're mad because somebody wants to win money for their fam, like you're like you said, you're a fucking hater. Go sit down.
Look, I'm gonna be real.
Big time.
If I won $20 million in the lottery tomorrow, you know what I want to do the next day? Win $20 million in the lottery for my family. Like, what are we fucking talking about, like, bro? Like,
I agree 100%.
So, all right. Anyways, before I get on a tangent on personal finance, which I don't want to do, there's one final scene in this intro that I think is important to talk about. And that's the scene between Chanel and Corey when she's braiding his hair, which I thought was a really cool moment that they showed. And the conversation they were having about her feeling imposter syndrome because of how everything went down in Survivor. And if you guys don't know, she made it about halfway through. She was in a tough situation.
Yeah,
she was in a tough situation after Merge. But with that being said, she is a good player. She's definitely earned her spot here because in this whole season, she really hasn't even had to sniff that elimination ring until this last episode. And that is an art to play in this game. Not too many people can do that.
Especially when you're a bigger girl like that, you know?
Yeah. And I think Corey saying the fact that, you know, you're here for a reason And the reason is there's little boys and girls that look like me and you, and we're representing for them.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
They're seeing us, or they're seeing themselves through us. And that's important. And I couldn't agree more. I think Corey hit it right on the head on that.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's huge, you know, to have cultural representation and to have a second chance. She's definitely a beacon of that. Like, hey, you might have an opportunity and it might not go your way, but put your head high, prepare, yep. Do the work, make the relationships and do right by people. And, you know, I think that's one thing about Chanel, which we call her on the show, the beautiful rebounder. Once she said that, that's it. Like, that's
yeah, you rebounder. Can't beat that.
No, that's she will forever be the beautiful rebounder to me. What we say about the beautiful rebounder, what I say is she's played a pretty clean game. I haven't seen her do anything mischievous, which puts her a little notch up for me.
Yeah,
100%. 100%. And look.
Am I forgetting anything? I don't know if I
No, am. No. I think here's my thing with Chanel is like, even though she hasn't really won a daily outside of the red team winning that daily, she's had a solid performance. Like, there's not one thing I'm thinking about where I was like, oh, she's not good at this game or she doesn't belong here. Like, because politically, she's played this so well with those three girls.
Yeah.
Well, it really now the two other girls. It was Tiffany, Chanel, Michaela, and Desi. But like,
you know, Michelle was part of it at some point. And
Michelle's a habitual line stepper. You can't ride the fence. We said that last episode. And that's what Michelle does.
So the one thing I want to address from our last conversation here, okay? We talked about Michaela versus
Jordan,
okay? And then we had all of our communication. Now, I'll say this. Since our conversation, and if you guys didn't listen to that one, my answer was Tori. I'm going to take Tori in a physical elimination because I've seen the ferocity. I've seen the fire in her eyes in that. But since that conversation, a lot of people that I've talked to might think differently. And when I say people, I mean challengers. So, Michaela is something special.
I gave my opinion.
I wish Tony was here to hear me say that.
No, and I gave my opinion early when there wasn't a lot of real tape on Michaela up to that point. And it's gotten a lot closer. I would say it's a coin flip right now for me. Just catch me on a Tuesday, I might say Tori. Catch me on a Wednesday, I might say Michaela. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think the one I would really want to see, just to be real, is Desi versus Michaela.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's. I mean, I don't know how their friendship is, but obviously they have a relationship.
Yeah.
As we saw with Josh and Fessy, it can get a little messy.
It definitely can. Well, here, let's get into this dumbass daily, dude. Let's just clear this out. It's called Burst Your Bubble. Basically, you got to climb up a rope ladder up to a hot air balloon, and then you got to traverse from one hot air balloon to another on a really narrow beam that, by really narrow, it's about the same size as your foot width.
Yeah, and apparently you can take as long as you need to prepare for this. You can take as long as you need. It's timed, but it's not timed.
Well, I get it. I mean, like, they have to do certain things. Like, they have to do the rigging for them to climb the ladder, and then they have to get up into the basket and then take that rigging off and then set up for the other rigging to go from one basket to the other basket.
Excuses.
No, this is not excuses. This is what they actually have to physically do.
I'm just saying, like,
with that being said, I know your opinion, so I'm just going to let you get into this. We find out it's a double elimination, and if you win, you automatically qualify for the final. That if you didn't know from everybody in the house saying, man, I just got to get through this last week, and then we're in the final. The final's right around the corner, you know, like every other fucking time. If you took a shot every time the final was mentioned, you'd be
drunk before the daily, and it was only drunk. 6 minutes in.
Yeah. So. Now that I've gotten all that out the way, please continue on your rant about this daily.
Yes, I can't wait to hear it.
I just don't understand it because, and I know it could just be editing, you know, and then putting shit out of order, but it just literally made no sense for what they showed of Michaela's absolute like meltdown up on the beam before she crossed it. Bananas cross it, like all this stuff, like it just literally none of it made sense. And then all of a sudden she won and she beat Tori. And I'm like, okay, so So what happens? So you climb up the ladder, your time stopped, and then you can take as much time as you need to get ready, to get prepped, to then start the time again to get across the beam. Like, that's, I'm assuming that's how the time worked. And it just seems like such a fucking cop out. Like, not only was the daily stupid, the final daily of the season stupid,
yeah,
but the rules to it were stupid. Like, I'm not happy. And it's nothing against Michaela. Like, I don't blame her or anything. It's not her fault that the producers make dumbass rules for their games, you know, but it made no sense. Like, if you're going to time somebody and give it to the person who gets up and across the fastest, then do that. Like, the time should start as soon as, like, I get there, they have to rig and set up and all that. But as soon as that's ready, like, it should be go, and the timer starts. And if you're still not ready to go, then that's on you. Like, I don't know.
My thing is, there's not enough transparency, what we were just saying.
Right. So this does remind me of the baton challenge, you know, where they had to jump. Yeah. And then I know there was a couple people on our show. I might've been one of them, maybe, that had an issue with kind of her taking her time with it. And just, you know, wait, like, there should, I don't know if you'd call it a penalty, but there should be some accountability for not being as decisive. You know, I think, like, you're allowing this drama, you know, by appeasing somebody, you know, whether she's the best at it or not. Like, you have to perform under pressure. Like,
yes.
We're not, this isn't, you know, this isn't like a game that you can just wait at. I mean, it's supposed to be high intensity. And you're right, Karina. They lost it by separating the issue. You know, I don't know. Whether it's physically impossible to take your rig from the harness, the ladder, that's their fault for designing it.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is we've seen similar dailies to this where they got to go up a rope ladder, cross over a beam, and go back down. If you guys think back to, you know, Battle of the Seasons 2012, it was like the very first daily that everybody had to do. Granted, they were over water and it was like those crisscross things up in the air, but you had to go up the rope ladder, two people at a time, cross each other on the beam, and then go down the opposite ladder. And you had four members from each team up there. And, you know, there's multiple seasons where they've done different variations of go up the rope ladder, cross the beam, go back down. So like you said, it comes down to how they designed the game and how they set up the rules of the game. And I was not a fan of it at all.
Okay, here's my hot take, and I wish we had a button on the pad for this, because this would be like the, like, you know, the siren, woo, woo, hot take right here.
Yeah, I don't have my buttons.
Don't trip. I'm not too worried about
it. I was
going
to say, I've got
this. Rim shot? What's that? Oh, that's not it.
There we go.
Crickets. No.
There is a crickets button.
There you go. You know the daily they did where they were on the semis and they had to, like, fight each other to get that? That's what they should have done this episode, and they should have done this balloon crossing back then. You switch those two, this is a great daily for this part of the season.
You know,
that's my hot take right there.
I like that.
I like that. So it would be just like a solo challenge?
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, how many points does whoever's got the most points wins?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I like that, because you have the physicality. You have the stunts, you know, you have
the adrenaline, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, earlier in the season, I have less a problem with the timing, you know what I mean? With the individual timing. And that would have been a fun challenge just for teams, like combined times, you know, that might have been better, you know, or to your point, Karina, if they had somebody does the beam, somebody does the ladder, boom, tag team. Then we're in one unison because everyone's
there. You go. There you go. Yep.
Something like it just once again, two times in a row now that we've had a season on CBS, they're consistently shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And how they set this shit up. And it's not right.
Like, I agree.
To me, it's like they're killing their chance of making this conversion successful to go into CBS long term.
Yeah.
Now, whether I'm right about that or not,
they'll learn. I mean, they'll listen. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that, you know, as a football fan, that the NFL will do to kind of player safety and this and that. but they always listen to the fans when they get pissed. So hopefully they'll listen. We want physicality. We want drama. We want it all.
And that's
we want it.
That's the thing, man, is like if they just made a few small tweaks, we would be having a much different conversation about this. Anyways, here, let's get through this deliberation real quick, because not much happened and all the action in this episode really came on the back nine of it.
Yeah, very true.
In the nominations, it's Michaela and Chris who end up winning the daily. You know, we already talked about how the timing, we really need a timer kinda, on this.
Yeah, but it applies to the Chris thing too, although that one's a lot closer and I'm like, okay, like.
Going back real quick, it was super impressive watching Chris and Corey literally just pull themselves up without using their fucking legs. Like, I was like, damn, that's a impressive physical feat right there. You know what I mean?
Totally. And, you know, I don't want to be the guy to question the winner.
Exactly.
But don't put me in that position. You know what I mean? Don't put me in that position.
And you know what, to be honest, between the women, if either one of them win, I don't think we have a different outcome in the rest of this episode, though. Just to be honest.
I don't think either.
I don't think Tori nominates Chanel or Desi.
No, I don't think so. I think she nominates Cassidy, too.
If Tori wins, who's the guy's nomination?
I think it stays the same. I think
you think still, she puts in Fessel. Oh, that's a good point. She put
in Fessel last season.
She had the deal with Corey and Fessel.
For what?
I don't. The one that made her vote for Josh on this episode.
She had the deal with Corey
and Fessel.
Well, still, she put in. She backstabbed Fessel last season on Ride or Dies on the final episode.
I know.
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. You know what I mean? But
I'm watching it now.
Yeah, I don't know,
but. But that's a good contention. I might have to ask Tori that if I ever talk.
You do it, man. Let me know what she says.
I was gonna say I'm about to fucking message her now. And be like, hey.
Yeah, let her see what she says.
Who would you have put in?
Yeah, fuck it, find out.
Yeah, for real.
So Michaela and Chris go in, and Michaela says she wants to put Cassidy in. She reveals the fact that her and Tori had a conversation, saying that no matter who won, they weren't going to go after the other one. And that's what leads me to say what I did previously, that
the women would have been the same. But women. I am curious about the men.
Who's she going to put in? She's not going to put in Bananas. She's not going to want to put in Josh. And she's not going to want to put in Corey. And that leaves Fessy as the lone man out.
Yeah.
To me, in my personal opinion, she just lets Chris does what he wants to do at that point. What else is she going to do?
Yeah, and just lets him take the heat for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, Fessel, I tried. You know, yeah, I don't know. That's a good point, because she did do that earlier to Wes. Her and Bananas did that to Wes super early on in this season, so.
Yeah, I mean, if she's willing to go Josh in the secret vote, is she not willing to go there? I mean, you're right. It could be nothing matters, but if Josh goes in, there's no question that Bananas, you know, I think unanimous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're having a very different conversation at that point about Josh running a final instead of Bananas.
and think about Josh's legacy then.
Yes.
Then he might beat Bananas in the Hall Brawl. So taking out Bananas and then going to the final, look at his legacy then. That's all my.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Look, here's my thing is even if Josh gets to a final, and I agree with, because you've been talking about this, I don't think he beats anybody in this final, any of the other guys, but I think he finishes it. And that's really what Josh is looking for, is he wants to get to the final and be able to finish it and be right on par with what Fessy's done, basically. Well,
that's what a lot of them are looking for, you know what I mean? I think we were talking about this earlier, is that, you know, we've had so many different challengers on our Challengers Unplugged who have either said this or alluded to it, is that, yeah, obviously everybody who makes it to a final wants to win, of course. But at the end of the day, you're just hoping that you finish the final and you're not that quitter who can't finish TJ's final, you know? So
exactly.
And I don't see Josh not being able to finish it at this point. Whereas, you know, a couple years ago, I might have felt different.
Yeah. I asked the question on our show a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, which is like, do you think he actually thinks he can win, or is he content just making it? And the reason I ask that is because he used the logic of I don't think I can beat Wes in a final, and that's why I'm cutting him out. Yet you're cool with Bananas, Corey, and Festy making it. It's just, it was a little bit of contradiction here. So for me, I am rooting for the guy at this point. Like, I actually, like, I'm like not joking when I say that. I actually am rooting for him.
Yeah, 100%.
But you gotta do it physically.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's put in the work, and I was surprised about how even this, how everything played out a little bit later in the episode. But I think that Josh could legitimately make a final and run it. Do I think he's beating Bananas, Corey, Chris, Bessie? No.
Not at all.
Do I think he could give Devin a close run for his money? Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe, you know? Yeah.
Can we agree that this was his best chance for sure?
No, I'm not going to agree on that. I think it, with more people retiring, he gets more and more opportunities, the better he's going to get.
That's a good point.
I like that. That's a great answer.
You know, here's my thing.
I think it's been his best played game thus far.
This is the best opportunity he's had so far, yes. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Okay. Well, and also to your point too, which is to say, like, hey, he's a better athlete 1 year from now, 2 years from now, and he's going to be in a better spot. So, you changed my mind on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too hard to predict in the future. I mean, and especially because Josh is 29, you know what I mean? Where Bananas is in his 40s, CT's in his 40s, Wes is having a baby in his late 30s or 40s. I mean, even Fessy.
But you better hope Zach doesn't come back.
Well, I think Zach coming back would be good for the show, honestly.
Yeah, because I agree.
Zach is at that mid-range where he's not ready to, I would assume he's not ready to retire tomorrow, like how CT and Bananas and them are.
Physically, absolutely not. Physically, absolutely not. Trust me, I play basketball with the guy. He's every bit of his old self.
If he was in this, I think he's a shoo-in to win the final if he's in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see what the final looks like.
Yeah.
We'll see what the final looks like.
Well, I mean, regardless of what the final looks like against these guys, like, look, I love Corey. I love Corey. I think he's one my favorite, and he's my pick to win this. But, like, I don't really expect him to beat Bananas. He couldn't do it 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of the things in the final could suit somebody. And you guys saw what Fessy said about Josh. He thinks that Josh would win it. Obviously, he's trying to hype up his boy.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe there's some stuff in this final that is better suited for somebody like his skill set. You never know. Maybe it's swimming. Maybe it's this. Who knows?
Right, right.
That is true. One thing that, talking about skill sets, I really want to bring up is my skill set to transition us to this ad from Spotify from podcasters.
Oh, my God.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't care if they can hear this. That's what people love about us. They love our fuck ups, and that's what their thing is. They're like, oh, you guys are so real. Well, there's some real fuck ups by Rick.
We're trying to use our buttons tonight, guys, and Rick is
pushing Karina's buttons. That's what I'm doing.
Facts.
Habitual line stepper.
A great man once said in my podcast studio, hey, play his fuck up. So I'll just go with that. Sometimes you fuck up.
Look, that's how we learn, by messing up. And that's what I do often. I'm trying to learn. Okay. So, guys, thank you so much for sticking through that ad. We're back. Where we left off was right after the nominations. At this point, the house sees that Michaela and Chris have decided to nominate Bessie for the men, Cassie for the women. No surprise there. We kind of all saw the Cassidy one. The real surprise is kind of the Fessy one. I thought it was going to go back to Josh. But like you said earlier, and I'm going to quote you, you get all the flowers on this one, is Chris was right to wait till the last fucking daily to nominate Fessy, because he knows Fessy can't do shit about it now. There ain't nothing
you
could
do now. Like, and that's the thing. Like, and that's why I would have been surprised and disappointed if Chris did not put Fessy into the elimination, because they knew it was the last daily. TJ told them at the daily that this was it. So he knew that there was no chance for retaliation. I mean, other than like, if there's some kind of like, you know, oh, put your ex on them in the final thing, like, you know, like, what was it? They did that on Invasions and like another one. I can't remember, but you know, but other than that, like, there's nothing really that Fessy can really do to retaliate against it. So I was not surprised. I was happy that he did it, and it was a perfect, perfect time for him to do it.
So Karina, the last opportunity he had, you did not criticize him for not putting Fessy in at that time, because obviously we don't know if he's outnumbered by 4-1. So to win the next daily. So did you not criticize him last week for not putting
him in? I didn't. Plus, I also gave him credit because he at that point already knew that the house planned on making it a girls' day. So for him to take a shot at Fessel when he knew that it wasn't going to be a guys' day regardless. Yeah. Could have potentially really screwed him over if he didn't win this last daily. So I actually gave him a lot of strategic points, and I think it worked out best in his favor. I mean, thankfully he won this week, so it didn't end up really mattering, but there was a like,
so it didn't matter,
but he only beat Fessy by 3 seconds, you know? So
supposedly,
like, there was still
allegedly.
but you know, so I think he played it perfectly and it worked out for him. So I gave him credit for that.
Yeah, I had a problem with it last week. Because this is your chance and you don't know if you're gonna get another one.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to make it a girls' day, that's fine. But like, I would have done everything in my power to give him at least a chance to go home. And you know, I think that would have been that elimination would have been fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
With the arm strength, because obviously, you know, Michelle admitted as much. She wasn't putting up a fight. It's not for her. But I would have liked that to be a guy's elimination. I agree.
I think that one would have been a lot better as a guy's elimination.
Oh, 100%, 100%. But so I want to bring this up because I think this is like the meat and potatoes of this episode, which is the Josh and Bananas conversation before the house votes. And Josh telling Bananas that he's got nothing to worry about. He promises on his dead grandfather that he'll never say Bananas' name. You know, all. First of all, why are you going to swear on any member of your family? Like, you ain't got to do all that, man. Like, we're grown men. We're not 13 anymore.
I pinky promise. Bro, what?
Yeah, it's like this wasn't needed. But at the same time, like, I don't think he even needed to do all that. He should have just had a real conversation with Bananas, which is like, dude, I'm going to do what I can to protect you, but I got to look out for myself as well. And just be honest. Like, look, I'm the biggest proponent of lying. Even last week I said, Michelle, just lie, bro. Just fucking lie. Like, I'm the biggest supporter of that. But in this situation, be honest.
Yeah, I think like Josh kind of suffers from like after the fact regret, because it's just like anytime he does anything right away, he like just runs and snitches on himself.
Yeah.
Like with Wes, he's like, dude, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry. It's like, bro, you don't have to tell him. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
If you're going to do the move, does it make you more ethical that you like, yeah, I backstabbed you, bro. I'm going to let you know. Like, I don't think so, but that's just
like, instead of doing that, just be honest up front then and say, bro, I'm going to vote for you.
That, or just don't say shit at all. Like, but don't make a promise and then break that promise and then walk out of the room crying and apologizing and, you know, like make this big old spectacle, this whole show over. Like, if he would have just gone to Bananas and instead of being like, oh, I promise I'm a dead grandfather. And just again, reminding everybody, I love Josh. But this was just so dumb. Like, just go to him and like Rick said, just be honest. This is the end of the season. There's no more dailies. We're going to the final next. It's all down to all friends. I'm going to do what I can. But my best friend is already in there, guaranteed. So like, you know, I might have to vote for you, bro. And like, I just want to be honest with you, you know, or like, I don't know.
This is the Big Brother game. Yeah. This is the Big Brother game. That's how they do it.
Well, and
so true. That's how they so do true. It.
Look, like, here's my thing is, first, let me just say this. We get a scene where Tori gets confronted by Corey and Fessy or Fessel about the deal that they made about keeping her safe when Michaela had won two times, now three times in a row. But
and Fessel kept her out, too. And yeah.
And so they need her to say, you know, someone other than Corey's name. And I'm surprised they didn't push her to say Banana's name, but she's just said, I'm going to vote Josh, which was surprising.
Well, Bananas is like her like number one, though.
Yeah, that's I guess. I mean, if it was her real number one, she would have gone against what she said and said Corey. You know what I mean? Just putting that out there. But to me, I think the bigger story is the fact that when Josh is trying to talk to Fessy and Fessy puts out there, like, if he does this, it's like going to be a detriment to our real life friendship. Like, I don't get people that can't separate the game from real life.
It's so stupid. And I don't even think it's that Fessel can't separate the game from real life. I feel like Fessel was taking advantage and manipulating Josh's loyalty and his emotions in this moment, which is also what Bananas ends up doing later. You know what I mean? Like, they just, they take advantage of that and they gaslight him. Like you said, like, there's no way that Fessel is just going to like stop being friends with Josh after everything they've already been through. They literally have gotten like into a fight on the show and their friendship is fine. Like, I don't see that happening, but I could 100% see Fessel using that moment and being like, woe is me, poor me, to try to sway Josh to voting for Bananas instead of Corey.
Yeah. I think that I think that's a great point. I think like if you have a friendship outside of this game, and keep in mind, you know, we forget, but they are playing for $250,000, you know. If you're my real friend in this game and you say my name and I want, like, I can buy that, right? I can buy that if in a situation where Josh says Fessy's name and puts him on the block. Yeah, no, we're no longer done. But you're going to tell me that we're no longer friends because I said someone else's name? That is your, I don't care. I don't give a fuck about Corey. If I'm Josh, I don't fucking care about Corey. If you're this big badass, which I know you are, and you say all the time, right, Fessy, no one's going to beat you in anything physical, right? Okay, so prove it. I don't have that type of loyalty to you where I'm going to sacrifice my game to help you win. I want to win too.
Yeah, here's my thing. Like, I've told her, like, if we were in this game and her only path forward to getting to the final was she had to get rid of me, then get rid of me.
Yeah, like, do what you have to do, you know?
Like, because if you're friends, like, you're saying you're friends outside of the game, then your relationship is more important than the money or the game. Exactly. You know what I mean? And if you're really friends, your boy will understand that. Like, if you're real friends, your best friend would be pissed off if you declined a deal that said you would never talk to him, but you got $1 billion. Your real best friend would be like, dude, you're fucking stupid for not taking that deal. Go take that deal.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
great. I'll see you now.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I'm so happy for you, dude, that this happened. I love you. We'll never talk again. Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But
well, and my whole thing here is like, look, I get like looking at Corey versus looking at Bananas, like physically for like a physical, you know, elimination, which obviously Fessy was suspecting of. I get why you would want to go against Bananas more than Corey. And this is actually perfect, but I'm like, and again, nothing particularly against Fessel, but he was just on your guys' show talking about how he could take Prime CT in a hall brawl, but he doesn't want to go against Corey. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
I'll say a couple things. And I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have some words for Fessy on our show, which is, you know, it's not tough because it's my job. And honestly, I have to give the people the truth and how I really
exactly.
Feel.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I didn't love his mannerisms. You guys kind of talked about it in terms of what he demanded from Josh. But one thing I will say, though, is Zach isn't afraid of anyone in a hall brawl. Fessy isn't afraid of hall brawl. And I don't think CT would be afraid of anyone in a hall brawl either. That doesn't mean you want to do it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 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 Yeah.
You know, it's still, and we saw, and you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, but we saw Like, anything can happen in this scenario. And, but like, I like watching these, and I personally, like, this is something, real talk, like, this is something I would want to do, because as a football player, you understand, like, it's not always the biggest, baddest guy. It's leverage, it's angles, it's all that, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And anyone can beat anyone, you know, and, but Fessy, you're right, Karina, is if you're that confident, are you really worried about anybody on this challenge?
Well,
I think for me, I wish that Fessel would just admit that, like, he does get nervous just like a normal person, like, instead of playing this like I'm this big tough badass who's not scared of anybody, like, just admit it. There are certain people that make you a little bit nervous, and that's okay. Like, that's normal. Like,
yeah. Well, and here's the thing, I think Fessy, how do I want to say this without pissing anybody off but still being honest about this, I think Fessy feels like he has to overcompensate for like how tough he is sometimes. Like, the dude's a badass. We all know he's a badass, but it's okay to have a little bit of self-doubt. Everybody right. has that. You know what I mean? And I think he realizes that Corey would give him a fucking run for his money in that situation. And he doesn't yeah. want his legacy, his dynasty, to include a smudge on a hall brawl of any type.
Ooh. Also, just remember, or it just like clicked, that it was Fessel and Corey in that final round of that wrestling match.
And Corey got his ass.
And he was convinced he was going to win that one. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm part of, so going back to that one, part of me thinks that Fessy threw it, but we won't have to talk about that one a little bit. Not that he wouldn't win. And Zach disagreed with me. He's like, no, I think Corey won that square. What I will say is, like, Fessy would have so much more confidence. And I think, maybe confidence isn't the right word, he would have so much more vulnerability had he won one already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? I agree.
But because he hasn't, he must never exude any doubt. Like, that's just a champion's mentality. Zach, because he's won one, he's not scared to be vulnerable about fearing a potential loss
right.
in a situation like that. And he's lost the hall, bro.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and so I think if he's able to pull one out, he will be more vulnerable to the camera. I think we'll see if he wins this season, what happens on his next.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing with Fessy is I feel like there's already so much that's happened that it's hard for me to come in every time with a clean slate. And I always carry some over, and that's just being real. You know what I mean? And
that's fair.
And I don't know. I don't want to rag on the guy. But with that being said, I just feel like he didn't need to go as far in on Josh as he did. And it looked poor.
I agree. 100%.
I agree.
Without berating the guy, let's go ahead and move on, which is we get to the vote. Josh is super affected because he's puts Banana's name in, where to the point where he sits down the stairs and just fucking sobs.
Like, bro, if it's that big of a deal, just put your own fucking name in.
Dude,
like,
that's your out. Just vote for yourself at that point, bro. Like, then there's nothing.
Like, what are we doing?
Like, there were so many alternate solutions to the one that he decided to take, and they would have all worked way better. Like, this was worst case scenario. This is DEFCON 5. And we didn't even need to do that. We didn't. It was someone throwing a rock. That's all we were dealing with. And now we're shooting off a nuke.
Yeah. Like,
this didn't need to happen.
Oh my God. Doing the most.
It was, it was a cry bomb. You know, but the guy is emotional. I asked Michelle, I said, who cried more in the season, you or Josh? And she had to really think about it. So it tells you everything you need to know about the tears from Josh. And hey, they're masculine tears though, right?
Like, and here's my thing is, yeah, like, I cry, dude. I watched Rudy the other night, and I fucking cried watching Rudy. I was like, bro, he fucking got on that field, bro. He fucking did it, you know? Look, like, so I have no problem with him crying.
No, not at all. Zero problem with it.
I do have a little bit of a problem of him being so upset and not being able to be accountable, and not that he isn't accountable because he lets bananas know, but mm-hmm. being able to say with your chest, like, bro, this is a decision I made. This is why I made it. Yeah. Now, with that being said, I don't fault him for any of that. Mm-mm. Any of the decisions he made. This is the one knock I have on him for this situation is like, dude, you got to be able to accept your decisions that you've made.
Yes.
Because they are the best for your game. And I'm not going to fault anyone right. doing what's best for their game.
That's something that Zach always says, which is like, I have no problem with the move, and particularly the West move. He's like, I don't have, and I'm really, really curious to see what he says about this, but I have no problem with the move. It's the explanation of it. Right? Yeah. And he keeps going back to specifically for the West. It's like, dude, you don't throw in your brother. Don't, if you're going to call him your brother, you're not throwing that guy in. And if it's just like, dude, I thought I'd beat you, I thought you'd win, and, you know, we're cool, but we're not that cool. It is what it is. We'll see ya. You know, I think we would all kind of respect that a little bit more. I don't know what he did to me. He put a charm on me. I, like, still a root for him. Like, I don't know what it is. Because I, like, totally turned the page on Josh. Maybe it's out of sympathy. I don't know. But we'll see what the future holds for him.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, again, like the whole thing with the West vote kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, like going all the way to the end with your friends and not just not voting for them, but also protecting them from everybody else. Like Josh, if he was that scared of running against Wes, he had the perfect opportunity of letting Wes be taken out of the game. But instead, he threatened to send him to stalemate and send himself down to elimination. Instead of just letting Wes get taken out. 100%. And that would have been his perfect out where he didn't have to backstab Wes. He didn't have to have any of that blood on his hands. And Wes could have gotten still sent. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just.
You're talking about the red nomination.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
And simple enough, he could have done this without putting a vote on bananas and just said, hey, everybody else vote bananas. I have to put my vote on somebody else. You know, because of what I've said to him, I can't break that. Like that's what I'm saying is like, there was so many different options that could have been had and it just, nothing was taken advantage. So it went to the very end. Mm-hmm. Now.
Yeah. I mean the one, okay. It's the one ball thing. Right. And Tory's one ball could have been the difference for Josh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now that, and I've been thinking about that all the time and I'm definitely going to be exploring this on our show. But now that it's funny because we talked real early, and now that we're deep into it, what do you guys think of the Hopper? And I don't know if it's going to make an appearance in this final, but overall, what did we think of it? Ooh. Because I know in my talks with a lot of the challengers, I don't know that they were that crazy about it.
I personally, like at first, because I'm a challenge fan, it's new. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this? This is trash. You know what I mean? But as the season's gone on, I like the fact that it's a secret vote, mm-hmm. and the second part that it only takes one ball in there for you to go in, I like it. I would be okay with them bringing it on to future seasons, honestly, because mm-hmm. I think it adds an interesting dynamic to the game. Can we make it not look like a bingo machine, though?
Right. I personally can see why these challengers are so against it. I mean, they put so much work into the social side that they want to be able to count their numbers. You know, they want to be able to figure it out. But as a viewer, I'm all about it. Give me the give me the craziness. Give me the bananas escaping, which, by the way, and I've made it very clear on our show, bananas is the one person I do not want to win this season. However, having bananas skate in a situation where he needs to go into elimination, he should, but having him skate because of chance, it's kind of crazy to me, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, exactly. I liked the Hopper, and I like the fact that, you know, they can't just, I mean, yes, they can just, like, target somebody because they can, like, a bunch of people can, you know, put that person's name in the Hopper a bunch of times or whatever, but there's still that chance. Like, it's not guaranteed mm-hmm. that person is going to constantly be, you know, get going in unless they're the main nomination.
Right. It's something else we talked about. Sorry, Karina.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say something else that we talked about on our show was like going to an elimination in street clothes. The fact that only a few people get to do that in this type of thing, it really adds something.
Yes.
You know, it really, really adds something. It's, we're used sometimes, you know, you're used to maybe half the cast, or like right now I'm watching a little bit of Ride or Dies. It's like pretty much, you know, almost half, like in the beginning, maybe more, but like when everybody's in gear, like ready to go down, it's really like, yo, like it could be any of us right now. It's a crazy feeling.
You know what? Yeah. I was just, because as a man, my brain does this. I'll listen to someone talk, and obviously I just start thinking about random things. Like, could I beat a mountain lion in a wrestling match or something?
Oh
shit.
My God.
I mean, if it was a juvenile, yes, I'm taking myself every time. Full grown, maybe not. But what I was thinking is, with the secret vote in the hopper, how dope would it be if they went back to, I think it was Final Reckoning, where they had to stand on the little things and the vote, whoever voted for him, lit up. Oh, the
platform.
So it kind of like shows off it's not so secret after all, after the vote's all said and done. I think that would be fucking dope.
Yeah, I did like that aspect.
The challengers would hate it because it blows up their fucking game.
Yeah.
But it's dope, right? Scene for the viewer. Mm-hmm. Anyways, one of the things that, like, I didn't really like the way Bananas handled this. I understand why he handled it the way he did. But like, one of my favorite parts is when Tori was telling Josh that like she had to vote for him, and he's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you two?"
just the infliction he put on that. What the fuck is wrong with you two?
Reminded me of like that boomer boss.
It was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, dude. He was like, "Are you guys fucking get off my fucking lawn, dude?"
Oh my yeah. God.
Like, is this your first fucking rodeo? Like, what are you guys doing?
It's like, why'd you vote for him?
But
it literally, he was like, so like, wait, what?
Yeah, what the fuck? Look, like, and here's my thing is like, I don't like the fact that Banana acts all blown away about this. God. Like, he hasn't fucked people over his whole literally entire every challenge opportunity. Career. Like, he's done it to Zach, you know? I remember watching that on War of the Worlds 1, you know what I mean?
He literally helped come up with the hat trick plan, or the hat trick, whatever it was called, and then flipped on his own plan and put Fessel's name in. So, like, shut the fuck up, Bananas.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is like, the upfrontness about it, like, the fact that they were just like, no, that's what we did. He's like, dude, what the fuck? Like, if you're going to make a sly move, be fucking sly about it. Don't fucking come and parade it around. Like, and Tori's like, yeah, I voted for him. He's like, what?
What are you doing? Are you guys fucking dumb?
Oh my God.
Do you know how to make a shady move? Like, do you know how to do it? Like, be shady about it.
Oh my God. Like, in the
too funny.
Funny as hell.
But look here, we get, after all this is said and done, we get down to the fucking arena or whatever they're calling it now.
I think it's the arena.
It looks like EDC is what it looks like, it with all those lights behind them. Like, I'm waiting for fucking the challenge karma.
I'm still in that zone. I'm still in the club.
Yeah, still red and blue lights. Red and blue lights. Turn off the lights in the back. I've never seen the challenge karma gods act so quickly.
Oh, the challenge gods were in full effect that night. They were in full effect.
Usually it takes an episode or two. This shit was same day it happened.
Hours later.
Yep.
So obviously,
karma bitch.
You know, they don't do it, but what they should have done is, as TJ goes to the hopper, just roll the tapes of Josh. I promise on my dead grandfather's grave that I won't say your name. Josh, same Banana's name. Like, because Josh had how many votes? Two?
Two votes for Josh.
Yeah, two votes for Josh.
One was Tori. The other one, I'm guessing the other one was.
It was one Corey. Two Josh and five Bananas.
I'm saying one of Josh's two votes was from Tori.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to figure out who the other one was. I wasn't talking about everybody's votes.
I bet you it was from Bananas.
How funny would that be?
I think it was from Bananas, to be honest.
Well, someone voted for Corey, but the women could vote for Corey too. Mm-hmm. So
it's hard to know where everybody sits right now, right before the final.
But regardless of it, you know, it's looking like a shoe-in for Bananas to go in. And we find out that
Bananas and Chanel is,
because they both got five. Desi got the other. Tori got two. It looks like it's going to be, you know, Bananas and Chanel going against Cassidy and Fessy. But Challenge Karma Gods made sure that Josh's ball got pulled on this. So he's going against his best friend in a fucking Hall Brawl, at least what we thought was a Hall Brawl.
Hall Brawl light, yeah.
Hall Brawl negative 2.0. It was fucking whack.
Yeah, it's like the Netflix kids. It's like Hall Brawl kids, you know? Hall Brawl Jr., Nick Jr. Like that's
it's like the Wish version of Hall Brawl.
Like, you know that meme where it's like, this guy looks like if they made a Hallmark movie about this guy, you know?
Yeah.
This is like if Hallmark was making a movie about the challenge and Hall Brawl was in the scene, but the scene was really about a pole wrestle. This is what that was.
Right.
And right. if you didn't make that connection, it's okay because I did. So
I got you.
Basically, with this Hall Brawl, they're going to go at each other, but they're going to have full football pads. And it looked like a bicycle helmet, if I remember correctly.
Did they have full pads on?
Yeah, they had shoulder pads and hip pads and all that. They did. Nice.
And then they had that big foam.
Then they had the tackling pad.
There you go. Thank you. Pad. Thank you. I was like,
they're going to hit each other. Once they get done with that, they have to go to a puzzle. And it's one of those puzzles where it's like, how many squares are in these different shapes?
Really, really quick. This didn't even register. But if Corey did go into that, he probably would have lost. Do you remember last time he tried to count shapes?
It was not good with
Nicole Z in the invasion final. Literally, he started counting the triangles in the letters on the sign. He would have lost. He would have gone home. Like, I'm fully convinced. He might have beat Fessy in the hall, but Fessel would have ate him up on that puzzle.
So I've got two questions about this elimination.
Okay.
First, how do you feel about this hall brawl? I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it.
I want to say that I didn't have too much of a problem with it. Obviously, we want violence. I don't want to pile on. But I know some people didn't care for the puzzle. I didn't hate it. Because I didn't hate it because I really, you don't want to, like, you feel like people are overmatched. It's just like not fun to watch. But I actually thought that there was an opportunity for both players. And we saw in both of the women's and the men's, nobody got it on their first guess.
Yeah.
So to me, Josh can't feel cheated in any way. Neither can Cassidy. Everyone had an opportunity to win this one. That's what I do like about it. However, we want violence.
This is America.
Like, this would have been so much better if they really, really had to beat each other up and then do a puzzle. Like, they didn't have to really do.
Yeah. Well, and I also think I'm not necessarily mad that there was a puzzle involved. I just didn't think that this was the right puzzle for it. And I didn't like the fact that you didn't even really have to solve the puzzle. Like, all Fessel did was he just picked a number to start. And then just kept going back, touching it, going back and guessing. So like, that's literally all you had to do. There was no real like thinking or strategy for the puzzle portion. And I feel like if they had done like a tangerine puzzle, as Darrell would say, AKA a tanagram, you know, like something like that, where you actually have to put, you know, figure stuff out, I think would have made it a little bit more interesting. But you know, that's my biggest complaint about it. The whole like, I know a lot of the fans had an issue with the pads. I didn't mind that so much. I understand why they're trying to make Hall Brawl safer. And I think Rick has a little bit of some insider information on that, which I'll let him go over here in just a second. But that was my biggest problem with it, is I just didn't like how the puzzle was integrated into the Hall Brawl portion.
So, all right. Do you want me to tell you how to fix this first, or do you want me to give the explanation on why it was safer first?
I want to know why it was safer.
So I was talking to a challenger who was on very recently, and in talking to him, they said that the production was already looking at a way to make this safer because of the potential neck and head injuries that could happen and how well they don't have the staff to deal with something like that on location, especially in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. And then the Damar Hamlin injury happened and they went over the top.
Yeah.
In making sure that the safety's there.
Insurance regulations are changing, like all kinds of stuff is changing, especially like you said, with the Damar Hamlin thing. So, you know, it's just, I mean, it kind of sucks, but I understand it.
And here's the thing, and they did it exactly for what you said, because of the difference in size. Like, if a Fessy goes against Bananas and he gets a neck injury, they're not able to handle that. They don't they don't have the people on staff to deal with that right there.
Right.
And that, which is a very real thing that could happen with an athlete like Fessy, who is a, you know, a college football player that still is relatively young and in his prime. Mm-hmm. I think the way they fix this is you do the hall brawl with the pads. You still have the normal thing where you have to go ring the bell at the end. Whoever rings the bell first gets a 5-10 second head start on like a slider or a tangerine puzzle. And that's how you determine the winner. So it gives you an advantage, but it doesn't
determine the
win. It's still the puzzle that does the win. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Or you do the puzzle, it's timed, then you do a hall brawl. Whoever wins the hall brawl wins 5 seconds off their total time. And that's what you're doing. Something to that effect.
I like the first way better.
But. So do I, but I just want to give some variation for the folks out there.
So do you think that's the end of the hall brawl as we know it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly.
I think
the last hall brawl.
That's a sad reality.
It is.
I think there it's a possibility that we might get different variations, like a little when we're back on MTV, similar to the one they did on Ride or Dies with Orasio and Olivia versus Johnny Middlebrooks and Raven. You know, where they've got the bar in the middle, you know, but just straight on full contact. I don't think we're going to see hall brawls of that sort anymore. And I honestly would not be surprised if we start seeing changes to things like pole wrestle, balls in, and, you know, anything like that where you can, where it's full contact.
Yeah. So if the game in general becomes more finesse, that is going to change things. I mean, you know, you're not going to be as, you know, you'll see the challengers become leaner, like more of that West Johnny body style. We see Chris kind of embodying that now. And it's going to be less about that physicality. So, you know, that is where the real NFL, or not the real, but the NFL is going.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the challenge takes the same route, especially, you know, on CBS, where they host NFL games, they know a little bit about adapting to that.
Well, and that's the thing too, is you look at the challenge, it's not like Survivor or Big Brother, where you do one season or four seasons top. It's a show where you can have a Bananas that does 20 seasons. And now, albeit Bananas, I don't think has ever done a hall brawl that I can think of.
No.
But all of a sudden, you get into a situation where a guy does 20 seasons and he's done 15 hall brawls and he gets repetitive head damage. Like, CTE is a very real thing.
Yes.
And it doesn't take 15 concussions. It takes 4 concussions. It takes 2 concussions in a short period of time. You know, so, and by short period, we mean anywhere from, if I don't know the exact science, so I don't want to quote it because that would be wrong of me, but this is a very real thing that they have to look out for, and with insurance, they're not able to do, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I think a solution for pole wrestle to make it safer, but still keep the physicality, is you can't stand up. You got to stay on your knees.
And that's what they used to do when it was the one of Wes and Derek Kay from the duel. Mm-hmm. You had to stay on your knees.
And it was still a fucking savage pole wrestle.
Yeah, it was savage as shit. So I don't think that'll ruin pole wrestle. But yeah, I'm curious to see how the other games and even some of the dailies might be affected, you know, by these changes.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Sure.
No doubt.
So anyways, the way the elimination breaks down, honestly, I was surprised that Josh stop Fessy the way he did. Now, do you guys think that Fessy held impressive. Back a little bit because it was Josh? Because I feel like he did.
No.
I don't think he did.
No, I don't. I don't. I think that, like I said earlier, football and leverage are not, it's not an exact science. You know, it's not the biggest, baddest player doesn't always make the tackle or run through a guy. You'll see a 5'8 running back truck a 6'4 linebacker if he's got the right angle.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So what's indicative of that is once the stalemate happened, right, we're clutched in, then Fessy gradually, you know, gets him. But and they told me, and Zach told me, and Fessy told me too, Josh is a big old boy.
Yeah.
You know, he is. And he held his ground. I was impressed with his performance. I think the fact that it was one go rather than three kind of deprived us of the strategy a little bit.
Yeah. 100%.
That would be like my one problem, other than obviously the physicality we're talking about. I would have liked to see some type of repetitive nature to this, so that they could take different strategies. I felt like for Josh, and I felt bad for him, he did play this perfect game and it was over like that. You know,
yeah,
100%. I mean, I don't know how they would do like best out of three with a puzzle, but I do agree. Like, it should have been a more, you could have still done an old fashioned hall brawl with those pads.
They could have done the, you know, the three rounds of the hall brawl, whoever, you know, best two out of three or whatever. And then that person gets, you know, a 5 second head start on the puzzle. Like, they could have done something. But going back to how great Josh actually did in this hall brawl against Fessel, what I kind of found interesting, and maybe I could be misremembering, but from what I remember of the elimination and of the hall brawl, was when they initially went for that first initial contact, I think Josh got a little bit lower than Fessel did, which I think is kind of funny because Fessel was the one who was sitting and telling him what to do in a hall brawl earlier in this episode. And so I found that kind of funny. And I was like, oh, Josh kind of like, he paid attention and he went real low and he got a little bit lower than Fessel. And I think that's what gave him that, you know, that really good start there and, you know, allowed him to kind of hold Fessel in the middle of that hall for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Zach would call me crazy, but like the reason I wouldn't mind trying this at least once is because like I think both of them were not, they like both braced for impact when like one of them, I think even if it was Josh, like if he would have attacked this as like, I'm going to run through Fessy, and Fessy came with the energy he came, which is like, all right, I'm preparing for the worst kind of, like he could have taken it. Like, he really could have, but he didn't go at it 100%. And maybe that's CBS. Maybe that's whatever. I don't know. But I didn't, like, an amazing effort on one side and an average effort on another could end up in Josh almost embarrassing Fessy. But it was more like, I don't know. They came to a halt on purpose. I don't know how to explain it the right way, but.
I get exactly where you're coming from. And look, this is why in my earlier statement, when I said Fessy doesn't, I keep referring back to him as Fessy, but he likes going by Fessel, why he didn't want to go against Corey, because Corey's a stout dude. Mm-hmm. He's shorter than Fessy, and he's going to have more leverage and be able to get that better center of gravity. And I don't think Fessy wants to see him in that situation. Now, if we're talking about like a balls in where even though Corey's faster, Fessy's got that length and the stiff arm, I think Fessy gets him there. But in a hall brawl with leverage and all of that, and we saw how much issue he had with Nelson because of Nelson's size, I think it's just not fair. It's not a good matchup for Fessy.
So, yeah, I agree. Like, the one thing about the hopper that I didn't like is like, you want, in my opinion, like you kind of want to know what gender is going to go for certain things. And like the Tori John A elimination, like I would have rather seen that here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would rather seen that physicality right here, because look, it was a very physical challenge. Unfortunately, John A was a little outmatched, you know, and I feel like this would have been a good opportunity for Josh and Fessy to really be physical while also playing a strategic game. This was, you know, like we said, it underwhelmed us a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And just really quick about the, you know, whether or not Fessel was kind of holding back from Josh. I don't necessarily think that Fessel was holding back. I think he underestimated what Josh was going to be capable of in that hallway.
I like that.
I will make you guys a deal. Go look up the video of Fessy and Kyle and their hall brawl and see how Fessy hit Kyle. Now go back and watch the way Fessy hits Josh. And but you tell me that he was going 100%.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not. No, listen, Linda. Okay.
I'm listening. I heard exactly what you said.
I don't think that Fessel was like purposefully holding back because Josh is his friend. I think Fessel was not going 100% because he didn't think that Josh was going to bring what he brought to that hall. And then when he met him in the middle of the hall, he was shocked.
Yeah, this is what I'll say. I think the pad affects physicality in a different way that you guys might be might be thinking about. Whenever we don't have the pad, right? You're putting your shoulder into that person's chest or their shoulder, okay? With the pad, your forearm is right here. It's just a different angle. You know what I'm saying? You can't compare it, in my opinion. You can't compare this one to that one because he has an objective. Like, he has to use the pad, which means he has to use his right shoulder, which means it could pop out of place if you're being stupid.
It makes sense. And I've done the drills in you know, with football as an offensive lineman. You do the drills with the hitting pad with the defensive lineman and the linebackers. And it is a different type of contact when you catch the forearm. I just feel like it wasn't that he underestimated Josh. I feel like even though he might not have taken it off, like mentally said, look, I'm not going to go as hard as I can go. In his heart, it was his friend. He didn't want to go as hard as he could to hurt his friend, because the way he would go about it, if it was Nelson on the other side of that, or if it was Kyle, it would have been completely different, in my opinion.
Or Bananas. I'll buy that.
That's my opinion. It wasn't someone he really.
I'm going to ask Zach that question too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Fessel putting somebody else above his own game is just.
It's not even him putting him above his own game. It's just subliminally didn't want to go against his boy.
I'm just saying.
That's where I'm more with Karina on this one. Is like, I think, like, number one, his pride. He needs a ring.
Yeah.
Like, he needs a ring. So. He's not going to suffice. And number two, he wants the money. I met the guy. He wants it. So I like, look, these are obvious motivations. I'm not telling you anything. You don't know. However, I do. There is like an unconsciousness to like, hey, I don't want to kill my brother. I get that.
Anyways, I think we're going to have to do on this one, Karina. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, Rick. If you're going against Karina, are you going to go harder than you're going against me, or no, or what, or less hard? I don't know.
Are we talking when I first met Karina or now?
right now.
No. If I was going against Karina, no, I would not put my all into it at all. I would be acting like I do with my son when he were play boxing.
Fuck you.
I get knocked out every time. You know what I mean?
You're an asshole.
Exactly. No, but that's an unfair example. But I'm trying to help Karina out here, or you out here.
No, but even with, like, let's say it's you and some guy I've never met or a guy I don't like, I'm not going to go, like, I'll still go 100% against you, but I'm not going to have that switch that if it's someone I don't give a shit about. You know what I mean? If it's someone I don't care about, there's a different switch that you can push.
I'm just not ready to give Fessel that much credit.
I understand. I'm giving him a little bit of props, but unfortunately, Josh loses after Fessy guesses 5 different numbers on the puzzle and gets it right.
Completely legal, by the way.
Completely legal. I mean, so stupid.
I can't be mad at Fessel. I'm just mad at the game.
He played the system. It's something Devin would have did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And then obviously that Chanel beats Cassie. I know we haven't really talked about that at all, but it was.
Look, a major props to Cassidy because she did better in that hall than I thought she would. As soon as 100%. I saw Chanel's name come out, I was like, she's going to truck through this little girl like nobody's business. But Cassidy held her own for the most part. You know, so major props to her. And I do hope we see her again on a future season, whether it's, you know, a CBS season or a flagship or, you know, whatever. I enjoyed watching her play the game. So.
And she had an opportunity to win.
Yeah.
She really did.
And she got a guess in.
She did get that guess in. And look, here's my thing is, I wouldn't have been mad about Cassie making this final.
I wouldn't have either.
I really wouldn't have. I think she earned the right to run it, in my opinion.
I wouldn't have been mad.
Oh, for sure. That would have been, to me, like, I like Chanel as a character, and I think she did a really good job this season. However, I mean, I would have been ecstatic for Cassidy. I mean, she
100%.
Like, to see somebody with zero help do what she was able to do was really impressive. To see that person make a final and have an opportunity to fight for big money, man, it would have been great. But I am happy for Chanel. She's definitely worthy and deserving. But it could have gone either way.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. So we've got our final four set, which on the women's side, we've got Chanel, Michaela, Desi, Tori. On the men's side, we've got Fessel, Corey, Chris, and Bananas.
So really quick, is it, I just noticed this, like on the women's side, there's only one like veteran of the game and the rest are all like CBS players. But then like on the guys, it's the flip. There's one like new CBS player and the rest are all like veterans who have played the games before. That's funny, actually. I just realized that.
Yeah. Was,
sorry, just a little fun fact.
Little yin and yang right there. So we get the next on for the start of the final. We're only going to get one episode, but it's going to be a 2-day final from what we can see. Obviously, we see a lot of endurance, and that's about it. They don't show a whole lot. We hear a lot of groaning and crying and, you know, typical final preview. I'm looking forward to it.
As long as they don't ruin it like they did USA One.
If there's Sudoku, I'm gonna pick it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be right down there where the writer's strike was happening. Like, no more Sudoku in finals.
Or at least give proper rules to how to do Sudoku.
Yeah, help them out. Shit. But that pretty much wraps up this episode. It was a meh episode before we go into the final. Let's hope the final blows it away and is really set up. But before we close this out, did you have a line of the night that you guys wanted to throw out there?
I don't really have a line of the night. There wasn't like a lot that really happened on this, I guess. Maybe other than bananas. What the fuck is wrong with you two?
That's mine.
That's the one that sticks out to me the most. And then, you know, major props to Michaela again, overcame her fear, pulled it out in the daily. Super cool. Major props to, you know, Fessel and Chanel for winning the elimination, you know, and Chris too, winning the daily, pulling it out back to back and securing his spot in TJ's final. I'm really looking forward to this, but, I also really quick wanted to know if we could get Pierre's, final picks, winner picks.
Ooh.
Like, who do you want to see win? I know you said you don't want to see bananas win, but like overall, who would you like to see win the season?
Wow. I after meeting Fessy, I think he's a good person. I would like to see Fessel win. I would.
Nice.
I like it.
They're all deserving though.
Yeah.
They're all deserving. I would like to see Fessel win. I think he's put a lot of time and effort into the challenge. He might be a little self-centered, but I do. I want to see him win. I'll be honest.
Nice. I like that.
For the women, I don't know if there's anyone like, I mean, look, obviously out of sentimental reasons and just growing up, you know, watching her a little bit, I like Tori, but I don't think that she deserves it more than any of the other girls. I probably don't want Michaela to win. I haven't loved her gameplay.
Same.
So I'll say that. I would say if I had my choice, it would be not Michaela.
Not Michaela, not bananas. Got it.
Yeah, I'm definitely not gonna pick winners, just because I'll feel stupid.
Yeah.
I just want to see them be competitive. I would like to see them all finish.
Yeah,
100%.
There's no one I hate in this final. I'll say that. There's no one I hate in this final.
Same. I'm not mad about any of them yet.
Yeah, I'm not upset about any of them. I have my favorites. I'd really love to see Corey win, obviously. And I'm pulling hard for Desi just because of what happened to her in the last USA final.
Yeah.
But honestly, like any of them. And I other than bananas, I really don't want to see bananas get an eighth win. But other than that, anybody else I'd be fine with.
Look, if Corey wins, he will have, when I say earned it, like over the 9 seasons earned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't know if he played the best season this season. I do think Fessy's played the best season. I think he's killed it in the day. Besides Chris, you know. But Fessy has had an amazing season too. And you know, they're all capable.
Agreed. 100%. I don't know if I truly believe my preseason predictions to win. It's who I would like to see win still.
Who'd you pick? It was Corey and who?
Corey and Tori.
Oh, Corey and Tori. Yeah, that's right. I remember now.
I wouldn't be mad if Chris won or if Fessel won. If Fessel wins, the fandom's going to riot. And part of me wants to see that happen.
That's true.
The only one I really like, and it's not that I don't want to see him win. It's just like seeing it for an eighth eighth time gets a bit repetitive.
Well, and then the fandom's going to riot in a different way. It's just going to be, it's rigged for bananas for the next 3 months. And I don't want to listen to it.
I just don't think he's the best challenger right now.
No.
Agreed.
Like, you know, do you like,
I, no,
that's the only reason why I don't want to see him win. It'd be different if I thought he was the best challenger and like, yeah, take, you got to kill the king to be the king. But I just don't see him that way, even if he might.
Agreed.
No. He's not the best one out there. I mean, honestly, I would probably predict him coming in fourth out of these four guys.
That's rough.
But it's real. I mean,
it's
just
a possibility. Yeah.
Look, like, I am very much aware of what my ability at 37 is compared to what my ability at 27 was.
True.
You know, and that's just being honest, you know. For the women, I'm not mad about who wins. Any four of them could win. I'd be stoked for all four of them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with my preseason, Tori.
Yeah, Zach says something very specific on our show, which I really have to defer, which is like he says, in his opinion, for someone that hasn't run a final, if you're a survivor, that's, you know, you have a decent chance because you've suffered, right?
Yeah.
And we think of it as being a race, but it's not a race. It's a testament of your will. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
they try to beat you into the ground with their race. So that matters because all these people have been showing their willingness to suffer.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, none of them are like, have obvious weaknesses. Like, oh, their endurance is trash, or, you know, they like the obvious weakness on Fessy is eating. Right.
Right.
But how much of this final is going to be eating? Probably not a ton of it.
He'll have a stage, probably.
He'll have a stage, but it's not going to be like there's three stages of eating.
No, there never is.
So my thing is like, I think it's going to be an incredibly close race amongst all of them. And I'm excited to see how it turns out. I mean, just
agreed.
Point blank.
Yeah. So,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that pretty much wraps it up. There wasn't really anything else. It was kind of a meh episode to get us into this final. Hopefully, like I said, the final blows it away for everything else.
So. I hope so.
Shall I close us out?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have anything else to add.
You got anything you want to add here before we close us out?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. And I can't wait for the next time. And look, fandom, I need you guys to encourage these two lovebirds to make their way up to Michigan so we can have them on.
We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't wait. The invitation. All you guys listening, you're hearing the invitation right now.
It's gonna happen. I'm gonna fucking
get one. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna give you guys a sneak peek. If you're listening to this show, I'll give you guys a little sneak peek. We will be having Josh on our show Tuesday after the final. So the Tuesday after the final, if you could tune in and see Josh. That's a Challenge Fandom podcast exclusive.
Hell yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
You literally heard it here first. That's the first time I've said it out loud. So.
That's awesome.
I don't know when this drops, but you'll be one of the first people to hear that.
Oh, man.
Heck yeah. Dude,
I fucking love Josh. We had a blast talking with him, dude. You're going to enjoy it, dude.
Yeah.
He's a genuine guy.
He's funny, too.
I'm excited. He might not like all the things I've said, but that's the beauty of our couch is you can look us in the face and tell us to fuck off in person. So.
Look, just like heads up, he came into the same situation on ours. I literally could not stand Josh before we interviewed him. I used to rag on his BB win publicly all the time and just rag on him generally all the time. And then I met him and interviewed him and learned more about him. And now like I ride hard for Josh. So he's still really cool about that stuff. Like he understands and he'll like talk with you through it, you know? So he's cool.
Yeah. No, he look, the one thing I will say about Josh that I admire is he has some of the toughest skin I've ever seen. I've never seen a fandom of the challenge and maybe your guys too, but like when I post like who's next, it's sometimes it's please not Josh and I'm like, guys, like he's still a person. He's still a person, you know?
They're terrible.
I give him a lot of credit, his mental toughness and his drive. I swear I really admire it. I don't know if I could do it.
Dude, I bet you right now you're gonna walk away after that time you spend with him liking him even more.
Yeah.
He is such a good fucking guy, dude. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything like that, dude. He's just a genuinely good guy. And you get that energy from people, and you're going to get that, dude. And look, I'm sure you've heard it from Zach too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, Zach loves it. So I'm excited. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And look, I've never met Zach, but Zach, from what he says, is like, I might not agree with everything he says, but I know it's from his heart. It's what he believes and what he sees true. You know what I mean? And he doesn't really bullshit about stuff. And that's something I've always appreciated about him. And if he says that, then, you know, it's got to be facts. You know what I mean? With Josh. So.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, Zach is, I'll tell you one thing. He does not care to tell you he doesn't like somebody. So trust me, we have conversations behind the scenes and I'm like, yo, you know, give him another chance. He's like, hell no.
Fuck that guy.
Josh is literally fuck that guy, but Josh is not one of them. He says nothing but great things about Josh. So I'm excited to meet him. Don't know if it'll change my opinion of him as a challenger, but definitely as a person, I'm excited to meet him.
Absolutely. No, 100%. Well, I think this is a good part to leave it off, because as we're saying bye to Josh, kind of like Michelle said when she left the season, for the haters that are happy I'm gone, see you in 2 weeks. For the haters that are mad Josh is gone, you'll see him in 2 weeks on fucking on Goat Media on the Zach Nichols podcast.
Literally, you'll see him on the ZMP, man. You'll see him right on the couch, live and in the flesh.
Hell yeah. I'm excited.
Pierre's going to end up with a Miami Dolphins jersey before it's all said and done.
Oh, yeah. Just make sure it's Tyreek.
Oh, yeah. Tyreek right away. Cheetah. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. For myself, Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, for Pierre from the Zach Nichols podcast, man, thank you for answering that call at the last second, hopping on, man.
Yeah.
Made it a wonderful episode. Guys, if you haven't yet, go follow Zach Nichols podcast on Instagram. We're going to have a link below, as well as Goat Media. Go check them out. And if you haven't yet and you're still thinking about it, stop thinking. Go subscribe for their Patreon. Go hear their full interviews completely uncut.
That Michelle one.
You're going to fucking love them. They're fire.
That Michelle one was
awesome. Look, it's not in everybody's budget, but if you want to, if you care and you want to hear the real thoughts, join the Patreon. The clips are free, but we love you guys, man. Thanks so much for that.
Oh no, absolutely, man. Yeah. And look, it's $5. Skip one Frappuccino. Subscribe for a month. Right. You'll enjoy it. I promise you.
It's for the hardcore, you know. If you got it, it'd be great. I appreciate it. We're trying to make our dreams come true, and you know, the more support we get, you know, you never know, you might see Zach again. So we'll see.
Heck yeah,
100%. And with that being said, I do know, and they go into more depth on it, and I'll let them talk about it on their show. They do give back. They do serve charities in their local area, Michigan. So definitely, it's not just like it's not going to a good cause. It does go to a good cause as well.
Yeah.
But with that being said, check it all out down below. We'll have it in the description. But like I said, for myself, Ricky Hayes, my wife, Karina, and Pierre from the Zach Nichols podcast, we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. If you get a chance, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating. It means the world to us. It definitely, you know, means a lot more than I could ever explain. I could go into the algorithms, but I don't want to waste your time. If you get a chance, also make sure you subscribe so that way you don't miss when we put a new episode out, because they're going to be coming out hot.
Yeah.
We've got a cast recap for 39 coming. We've got an interview with Tiffany Mitchell tomorrow.
We've got two other interviews. Yeah.
We've got two other interviews already in the books. We're working on some ones. It's me and Pierre are networking. We're getting some shit going. Fucking Pierre's going to be back in 2 weeks for the premiere of 39. You don't want to miss any of this.
Yes.
So
that's right. That's right. Can't wait.
Smash that subscribe button, as the YouTubers say. And other than that, man, be good to each other. Be good to yourself. We love y'all. Night.
Smash that shit.
Bye.